The next we have is the Baroda Museum, which is at the city, and Picture Gallery, which was built in 1894 on the lines of Victoria and Albert and Science Museum of London. It is also one of the art attractions that you can visit for the museum artifacts that are there. It preserves a rich collection of art, sculpture, ethnography, and ethnology. The Egyptian mummy skeletons of a blue whale, the famous Akota bronzes, Mughal miniatures, Gallery of Tibetan Art, and oils are some of the installations here. So there are sections inside the museum dedicated to these. Calicut Textile Museum. It is one of the most famous museums dedicated to textiles in India. A visit here is a must to know how the textiles of India, the history of textile industry in India is. So we can see various different textiles, that is how they were in the earlier days. So it displays a magnificent collection of rare textile datings back to 17th century. So there are many displays wherein the type of clothing, you can view the designs which were there. Then there are tourist guides which might explain you how those were used or those were made. There is a reference library on textile, furniture, temple artifacts, and crafts in the country. It has no less than 5 centuries of the finest fabric spun, woven, printed, and painted in different parts of India. So, if anyone wants to know the history of textiles with related to India as the country, this is where it is housed everything. Next, we have the Champaner Pavagarh Archaeological Park. This is here where it's a UNESCO heritage site. It's a protected site. Why? Because there we have found out many forts, palaces, remains of different monuments. It is still under discovering phase, if you can see. So it's an archaeological park which is protected. So apart from these attractions, Gujarat has other attractions to offer. There are many other cities that one can go to and experience the culture over there. So that is what Gujarat has. Then there are many other attractions which can come up with respect to Gujarat. Let's see what the next attractions are that Gujarat has. Is one Darbar Ghar. The old royal residence of Jam Sahibs is the finest example of fusion Rajput and European style of architecture. Now we know that the Rajput clan was in and around this area, that's Gujarat, Rajasthan area. And we know the impact that Britishers and Mughals and everyone had. So there is Rajput and European style fusion in the architecture that we can see in Darbar Ghar. Next is the Sabarmati Ashram, famous for Mahatma Gandhi's foothold here. It is named because it lies near Sabarmati River and was also referred to as the Satyagraha Ashram. So it houses museum which has on display various artifacts which were used by Mahatma Gandhi. So that Sabarmati Ashram, there are various other books which are also here. So these are the sites which Gujarat has to offer to us. Let's see what other states have. Let us see the state of Haryana that it has, what it has to offer. Now we have the Kurukshetra. Is the name given to the area which covers 48 kosas, that's the land measurement unit, where 860 places of pilgrimage related to Mahabharat exist today. Now this is the area where the Kurukshetra war was between the Pandava and Kaurava. So this is visited by Indians all over. The important sites which are there, there are different monuments at this particular area, and each has the story or a part of the story of Mahabharat, epic of Mahabharat related to that. So when we are talking about Brahma Sarovar, there is a monument wherein it is a bronze chariot which is there, which is supposedly the biggest chariot made out of bronze, which is near Brahma Sarovar. Then we have the Sannihit Sarovar Gurudwara, Sabiti, Thaneshwar Tirth and Rajghat. Now these are the areas which have certain importance with respect to Mahabharata epic, and there are monuments, as in there are chariots, then there is one other monument which has Arjuna depicted in it. The entire area also has one Arjun museum which is dedicated and which in some way relates to Mahabharata the epic. So these are visited by tourists and pilgrims alike. Next, what we have is Firoz Shah Tughlaq's palace and fort. It is an ancient and historic monumental structure complete with tehkana and a mosque. So when we are talking about Firoz Shah Tughlaq's palace and fort, it is a huge structure. There are many other monuments inside the fort, and most of them will be related to the fort and the palace. So ideally it was for protection, that is the fortress which was for protection, but it has a palace inside it as well. So that was the Firoz Shah Tughlaq. Now we have Mughal Gardens or and palaces at Pinjore. This was the same site that we talked about during when we were doing Chandigarh as a union territory. Our grandiose gardens built Aurangzeb's foster brother Fidai Khan and includes the Mughal Rajasthani style. The entire gardens are surrounded by a wall of privacy for security. Now if you search beautiful images of Mughal gardens, and especially if you search the Pinjore Mughal gardens, and you can type this the city or the state that you're talking about, you will get that particular site. You will get those images. Now most of these images are built on most of these images will show you beautiful cascading waterfalls which are going centrally through the gardens. Then there are squares which are there and they are perfectly aligned. So it is the alignation of the entire laid out area of the garden that makes it so beautiful. Then there will be certain monuments which are built inside the garden. These are the monuments where the royalty used to stay or visit during for certain events in the garden. Today it is one of the tourist attractions. They are beautifully lighted, and some of these gardens might also have the the fountains which will be lighted. So that's Mughal Gardens. The Bohar Dine Monastery, located in the city of Rohtak, was built in 12th century and features a series of shrine with historical frescoes. Now these are the monasteries which are visited, and the main thing of attraction here is how old they are and how well survived or preserved they are in the present times. So if we are talking about built in 12th century, that's quite an old structure. And these are series of shrines, so these are visited by pilgrims. The tomb of Razia Sultan. Razia Sultan, the epic hero of the history of India that we have, the first woman ruler of India, and we also have a film on it which was starred by Hema Malini. In the district of Kaithal is situated in the north central part of Haryana. Built in the memory of Razia Sultan, there is a mosque that has been built near the tomb. Now the historians are, if you have to know, that there are historians who believe that this is not the site for Razia Sultan's tomb. There are two more sites which historians believe is one of the tombs are there. So if you actually know the arguments of the historians, it is three different school of thought wherein they say this is where the tomb of Razia Sultan is. So there are three sites which are supposedly tomb of Razia Sultan. This is one of that site. Nevertheless, the history of Razia Sultan is worth knowing. So she was one of the most, what we should say, the Iron Lady of the history, the earlier histories that India has. So let us see what the next slide is about. Now let's come to the state of Himachal Pradesh. Himachal Pradesh, located in North India, is one of the highest drawing crowd. That is, it is the tourist attraction. It attracts the people who want to see snow in India. It attracts people who want to trek around. It attracts the people who want to go towards Himalayan regions. That is, the ones who are serious about the Himalayan expeditions or mountaineering. It is the state which is the ideal getaway during the scorching summer that the other states of India are experiencing. So Himachal Pradesh is also a sought out honeymoon destination. So definitely tourism is one of the most important industry with respect to the state here. Now, what we have, what Himachal Pradesh has to offer to the tourist are the scenic beauty, the beautiful backdrop of the Himalayas that it has to offer. Apart from that, it has its own typical way, that is the Himachal Pradesh ambience to it. So that's the feel of the place that that the Himachal has. Now, let's say what we have first is the high snow-clad Dhuladhar ranges which form the background to Dharamsala. So those are the ranges which are backdrop to Dharamsala, the site which is supposedly the headquarters of His Holiness the Dalai Lama and home to the largest Tibetan community. Now Dharamsala is said to have more Tibetan community people as compared to anywhere else in India. It is here where the Tibetan government is supposedly been in exile. It is the seat of the Dalai Lama, so it is an important site wherein the Tibet government is here. So apart from such an importance, Dharamsala has beautiful monasteries to offer to the tourist. It is also a site where thousands flock for having the Tibetan culture feel to it. So those are the Dharamsala. Apart from that, it is also the scenic beauty that Dharamsala has to offer. Now we move to Church of St. John, which is at Dalhousie. It has an importance since it being the final resting place of Lord Elgin, that's the British Viceroy of India during 19th century. Apart from this historical significance, it is one of the most beautiful churches, and it is middle of a forest. All right, it has stained glasses, that stained glass windows which are one of the finest examples of that type. So that's a Church of St. John, and it is in the middle of the forest, so it is ideally the name which is associated with is the Church of St. John Wilderness. And so that is one which is which is associated with this. And then next what we have here is the Shimla. Okay, Shimla or Simla as people call it. The Shimla Ridge is one of the most famous area inside Shimla. So it is a large open space in the heart of Shimla that affords an excellent view of the mountain ranges. So if you see Shimla Ridge, it has a church in its vicinity. It has three statues, one of it being Mahatma Gandhi, the other one being Indira Gandhi. So that is where the Shimla Ridge is. It is an open courtyard which has a clock tower as well. It has what I should say, it is important because most of the government there is a festival which takes place which here, then there are government events which take place here. So Shimla Ridge forms a way of life for the people here. So definite must visit place here. Shimla's landmark includes a new Gothic structure of Christ Church and a new Tudor library building. Now these both are together, and it is near to Shimla Ridge. So if you are talking about Christ Church, it is supposedly the second oldest church in India. It is famous because it has a typical neo Gothic architecture. So that's the architectural style that it has. Also it is famous because it houses the one of the biggest organ, pipe organ that the church has. So that is what is famous here. Then the library building, which is again a neo-Tudor architectural library building, again quite old, the structure is beautiful. So if you search the images for these, you will get beautiful images on the net. Then there is Jakho Hill. Jakho Hill at 2455 meters, that's the highest Shimla peak. It has Lord Hanuman's temple which is dedicated. Recently it was Abhishek Bachchan who went for an inauguration of the largest Hanuman idol which is placed here. The legend goes that Lord Hanuman, while carrying the mountain regarding that legend which is there for the Sanjeevani Booty in Ramayana, it is this place where Lord Hanuman had rested for some while before continuing the journey. So that's how the temple is dedicated to Lord Hanuman. Apart from the temple, it is the brilliant views that it has to offer which will attract the tourist here. Let's see the next slide. There are other attractions also that Himachal has to offer. Now, one of the attractions is the State Museum in Shimla. It houses representative collections of Himachal's rich heritage. Exhibits include archaeological artifacts, carvings, paintings and sculptures. Now, when we are talking about this museum, it will give you an insight of the Himachal way of living. So, it has all the artifacts which are used from earlier times. It is one of the museums which is rich in regards to the collection that it houses. Now, furthermore, we have the Indian Institute of Advanced Study. Now, this is actually an institute of study, that is the Institute of Education, but it is worth a visit because of the beautiful architecture of the building. It is a magnificent English Renaissance structure that was the former Viceregal Lodge. Now, when it was built as a house for Viceroy. As a summer retreat. After that, there is a lot of history associated with the building. This is the place where the famous Shimla conference was held. This is the place where the meeting was held, which decided the East Pakistan and the West Pakistan. This had an important building with respect to the politics of India. Furthermore, later when S. Radhakrishnan became the head here, that is in politics in India, it was later made into a lodge for the summer retreat. Today, S. Radhakrishnan made from the lodge, he made it into an advanced study center. So, if you can see these particular images, you can view how the English Renaissance is. Some of these images are used in one or two films you might be aware of. So, ideally, there are two or three structures or two or three building structures which are involved in even the interiors of the entire building, which is now used as a study center, is having that old English charm to it. So that is one place which can be visited. Then Kufri at 2501 elevation is famous for its wide views and skiing slopes. So going to Himachal and not going to Kufri is not done. It is one place wherein it gives you excellent views. It has the skiing slopes which are there. Then there are different points, like there is an Indira Park which has a story about Indira Gandhi and Bhutto meeting over there. So that is one story which goes with that park. It's a small park. Then there is a Fun World at Kufri. So all this is what Kufri has to offer. Then we have Narayan Nagini Temple at Kalpa, which is a good example of local craftsmanship. So if you see, these are the slopes. The temple has certain slopes with respect to its roof, and it has small carvings on it, which is locally, which was supposedly locally made. Apart from that architecture or the craftsmanship, you can visit the temple for the great views that it has to offer. So that is one which is there. The next that we have in Himachal Pradesh is the Rekong Pio at an altitude of 2670 above sea level, offers a panoramic view of the Kinnar Kailash mountain. Now we have Kinnar Kailash mountain, which is supposedly the mythical abode of Lord Shiva. Now the story goes that this is the mountain which is not reached ever by the mountaineers, because Lord Shiva stops them from reaching there. So that's one of the legend which goes with it. And there are other such mountains also wherein the same legend goes. So Rekong Pio gives you panoramic view of Kinnar Kailash mountain. Now there is Sangla which is situated on the right bank of Baspa River, elevation 2621. So all of these are elevated, obviously giving you great views. It is built on a slope with the houses rising one above the other, surrounded by forest, snow peaks. This is a very picturesque location. So if you visit Sangla, you have the hill slopes and you have this houses which are built on the slopes. So on an aerial view, it is one of the most picturesque town or the residential town that we can see. So Sangla offers you great views of the region. Lipa is located near the left bank of Taiti stream. Three Buddhist temples dedicated to Galdang Chokoyar, Dungyur and Kangyur. So again these are the temples dedicated to Buddhism. Murang has an old fort which is believed to be built by the Pandavas. So these are the attractions which are worth visiting, and each of the sites that are there offer you great views. It is the scenic beauty that attracts more. It's the ambience or the climate of the place that attracts the tourist to it. Now, these are the pictures for Church of St. John in Wilderness. If you can see, it is exactly in the forest. Beautiful ambience over there. This is IAS Shimla, one of the buildings which is lit. So this is one of the buildings. There are many others in the vicinity of IAS. Then we have the Christchurch at the Ridge, Shimla. So this is the beautiful architecture which the Christchurch provides, and nearer to that will be the library building that is there. The Narayan Nagari temple at Kalpa, you can see the tapering roofs of the temple. So now let us move to the next state, that is Jammu Kashmir. Now this is the Gulmarg. When we are talking about Jammu Kashmir, we are talking about the place which is supposedly which is famous for being the heaven on earth. So Gulmarg is one of the site which definitely comes when we are talking about tourist attractions here. So Gulmarg is one of the premier hill resorts in the country, originally called as Gauri Marg. Why? Because of the shepherds over there. Gauri Marg by the shepherds. The name was associated with Gauri, that's Parvati, and Marg. So this is the road which leads to Gauri. So that's how the name came up. Later, it went ahead and said it's as being the present day Gulmarg, which is related to flowers. All right. So the present name was given by Sultan Yusuf Shah in 16th century. It was a favorite haunt of Emperor Jahangir, who once collected 21 different varieties of flowers from here. So hence how the name which came up. It is not merely a mountain resort of exceptional beauty, it is also the highest green golf course in the world at an altitude of 2650 and is the country's premier ski resort in the winter. Now when we are talking about Gulmarg, the people who go there are for the skiing. People who go there are for majorly for the views. Apart from that, it is the climate that offers the cold climate which is there, which attracts many of the tourists to Gulmarg. Now it is one of the most, because of its location nearer to the LOC or nearer to the border, we will find many military outposts here. Attractions will be well protected. Also, we one thing which we know for sure is that there is no present people who are living population in Gulmarg. All those who are present are the hospitality, that is hotel industry or employees, or what we should say that permanent residents of Gulmarg are not there. The is the hotel employees, the travel and tourism employees which are here, and due to extreme conditions Gulmarg will be closed for 6 months time. So this is the 6 months wherein Gulmarg makes its most of the tourism industry that it has. So there are many attractions, most of them dealing with the views. The next that we have is Pahalgam. 2130 is the elevation above sea level. Is Kashmir's premium resort, cool even during the height. cool during the height of summer. Now Pahalgam has its name, which is derived from a bailgam. That is what it means. Now there is a legend attached here. It is supposedly a point where Shiv and Parvati left Nandi the bull here. So that's how the place of Pahalgam, which means bailgam. Okay, it is a starting point for the Amarnath cave yatra, which is about 6 kilometers from Pahalgam. So there are various pony rides at this place. Again, due to extreme conditions, it will be closed for 6 months' time. So similar to Gulmarg, this also has lots of military outposts. The security and protection is extremely tight, and you have no permanent residence to Pahalgam here. So all we have is the hotel employees, the tourism employees, those are there. So Pahalgam is the gateway to Amarnath cave. Then we have Sonmarg, situated at an altitude of 2730 meters, has snowy mountain against a cerulean sky. So the name has been derived because of Sonmarg, that is the town of gold or the golden town that we have. Again, it gives excellent views, fantastic climate, and is one of the most sought out tourist destinations that we have. So all of this are dealing with views. Most of them will have the pony rides which are there. The trip up to Thajivas Glacier, which is major local attraction during the summer months. So Sonmarg is the base of the major trek that passes across several mountains, lakes like Vishansar, Kishansar, Gadsar, Sarsar and Gangabal. So these are the treks which start, this is the gateway point, that Sonmarg will be the gateway point to such treks. Now let us see what the other attractions are. One of the attractions here is Amar Mahal Palace Museum. The architecture of it is in the way of a European castle. It has beautiful red sand stone palace. Then it has a rich collection of sculptures, paintings, books, etc. It was supposedly the last residence of Dogra dynasty here. A 120 kg gold throne is the major attraction, which is kept in a glass casket over here. So Amar Mahal Palace Museum is definitely worth a visit. Further ahead is Bahu Fort Houses Bagh-e-Bahu, an extensive terraced garden. Now it also has a Kali temple. Kali temple, you may find many of the temples which are dedicated to Kali Ma. This is because it was supposed to be the royal deity of the rulers here. Next we have is Basgo Monastery in Leh, which is famous for the Buddha statue which is there. So all these monasteries are definitely worth a visit. It gives you a typical architecture which has a Buddhist impact. It has tapering roofs. Then there are different colors which are painted across here. Then Burdan Monastery is an ancient monastery at Burdan. So the area around Leh, Ladakh has many monasteries. Some of them are most important to the pilgrims here. Now we have Chashme Shahi Garden, which is supposed to be the smallest among the Mughal gardens to offer great views. Now this is again a Mughal garden, but as compared to the other Mughal gardens which are on a greater area, Chashme Shahi Garden are the smallest one, and inside there are again typical square garden areas, plus there is certain monuments which are inside. So this will be smallest of all. So these are the monasteries, Amar Mahal Palace here. Let's see what the next is, the Amarnath cave. It will be not right to not to mention Amarnath cave when we are talking about Jammu and Kashmir. Now it is one of the holiest places for the Hindus to go. As the figures might say, the 2013, the recent years, the figures have been to 350,000 devotees who are going there annually for the Amarnath Yatra. Now this is the cave wherein a Shivlinga is formed. It is made of ice. So it happens only at that particular time when the Yatra takes place. So it is legend which goes with it. Legend has it that Lord Shiva recounted to Parvati the secret of creation in this particular cave. Now when he was giving away the secret of creation to Parvati, it is said to have two doves, that is a pair of doves who were there and who who were there during this episode, and many of the pilgrims will come up and say that we actually saw this particular pair of doves. It is saying that they keep on having births and rebirths in this and remain in the same cave. So are reborn again and again and have made a cave their eternal abode. So many pilgrims report to seeing the dove pair when they trek the route. Now there are other legends which say how the Amarnath Yatra goes, and each particular city or the base which comes up, it has a legend and the name corresponds to that particular legend. So it is said that the Pahalgam is the place where Lord Shiva left Nandibul. Then there is another place where it is known as Chandiwari, wherein he left his moon. Okay, and then there is one more wherein he left the sun Ganesh, that's the Parvat Ganpati Parvat, or these are the things. Then there is one more place which is there, that's Panchatarni, where he left the Panchamahabhuts, that is the elements of five elements which are there. So that's air, water, sky, those. So that is live, and leaving all this, he entered with Parvati to this holy cave. So, although the yatra is very, very difficult, there are the base camps, and there is government providing protection and the other facilities for the devotees, the number of devotees keep on increasing. So, that's Amarnath Cave. These are the pictures that we have, Amar Mahal Palace Museum. Then we have Chashme Shahi, one of the monument inside the Mughal garden here. We have Amarnath Cave, this is the ice shivling that is available here. And we have a Hazrat Bal Mosque, which is one of the mosques at Jammu Kashmir. Again, a legend goes with it. The name says Hazrat Bal, wherein we are talking about Bal, that is the hair. It is related to a relic, which is hair. Which is housed in this particular mosque. So there is a legend which goes how the this particular relic, which is very precious to Islam, came up and was housed here. So many legends go across this particular mosque. Now the Dal Lake in Jammu Kashmir, this has to be a must visit. It's famous lake in Srinagar. It is connected to a number of other lakes in the valley. 500 or more wooden houseboats are ply on the lake. Now when we are talking about Kashmir houseboats, we know Kerala has houseboats. Now Kashmir houseboats and Kerala houseboats are two different things. When we talk about Jammu Kashmir houseboats, these are the houseboats which give you intricate Mughal architecture. So inside will be with lots of loud colors like orange and gold. Then they will have most of these houseboats are actually houses, and the people who own them are staying in it. These houseboats are not moving, but they are stationary. These houseboats are also graded by the tourism department, the hospitality department, as to grade 1, grade 2, depending upon the kind of houseboat that it has, and the rates change accordingly. So why this houseboats came up was simply to they were built, or they will came up with an idea from Britishers who were not allowed to build houses in the land of Jammu Kashmir. This was a law which was passed during that time by the rulers. So hence they came up with an idea of having floating houseboats on Dal Lake. So that is how these houseboats are there. Most of these houseboats are quite old, and some even 100 years old. And it's a unique experience to actually stay in one of the houseboats. During the winter season, the lake sometimes freezes over. The lake has some interesting flora and fauna. The flora includes lotus flower, water lilies, and water chestnuts. So this is something which comes up, Dal Lake being one of the most prominent places of Srinagar that one can visit. Now this is what we were talking about, the Hazrat Bal Mosque, which is the only domes mosque, one of the most important in Jammu Kashmir. Now we have the Nishad Bagh. It is the second largest of the Mughal garden in the state. Now we have the Mughal gardens wherein we did Chashme Shahi. There is Shalimar Bagh being the largest here. So there is again a legend which goes that these both were connected and there was a water supply to this which was stopped because the ruler was envious of the beauty of the garden. So definitely the beauty of the garden is something to be envious about. So if you actually search the images of Shalimar Bagh or Nishad Bagh, there are many monuments which are said to be Rang Mahal or Hawa Mahal, or there are other monuments which are named in specific things. There are areas which are have fountains, then water cascading, beautiful architecture, and amazingly well maintained. So these are the Mughal gardens. Then there is Jama Masjid in Srinagar, which has beautiful Indo-Saracenic architecture with spacious courtyard and 370 wooden pillars. It is famous for this 370 wooden pillars because, being very old, this wooden pillars are still existing in a very good shape, and the Indo-Saracenic style. So we have the Indian style, we have the Persian and the Mughal Islamic style coming together. So that's Indo-Saracenic style that the Jama Masjid has to offer. The next that we have is the Kailash Lake, which is popularly known as the Vasuki Kund. It's situated about 70 kilometers from Bhadarwa in Jammu Kashmir, that is Jammu district. This is one of the major pilgrim centers. Now again, this is wherein people come and visit this particular lake. Apart from the pilgrim site, it is one of the spectacular views that you can see for can be visited for the scenic beauty. Visiting this holy place on a new moon after Rakhi Purnima is considered to be very auspicious. Visitors need to travel through an extremely steep lonely pass to actually reach here. Although the regions hold no temples, there are stone images of Lord Shiva, Vishnu and Vasuki. Again, there are legends which are attached to this particular site. Let us see the next slide. Now let us see Ladakh, which is ideally today the hot spot or tourist hot spot. People are going here because of the exquisite raw rustic beauty of Ladakh. It is the wilderness that is attracting. Ladakh is the coldest desert in the world, with its burning sun and freezing winds, glaciers, sand dunes. It is the least populated region of Kashmir, especially because of the extreme climatic conditions which are there, but still it is inhabited by the people. It is the highest inhabited land in the world. Leh, once the capital of the Himalayan kingdom of Ladakh, is at an altitude of 3500 meters. So that's the elevation. The town is still dominated by the now ruined Leh Palace, former home of the royal family of Ladakh. So what happens here is, when we are talking about tourist attractions, it is the beauty of the place that attracts. It is the isolation that attracts the tourist. However, when as a person who is advising to someone for this particular tourist attractions, most of the tourists who are who do not have good health might not be this place might not be good for them to visit because of the high altitude and because of the extreme climatic conditions. Many of the tourists have the oxygen levels in this place is quite less, so there can be breathing problems. And as compared to tourist attractions or tourist places, Leh and Ladakh have is not so much developed with respect to tourist facilities, or the infrastructure development is quite less. So it is an adventure loving tourist who would be ideally suited for Ladakh, who know that the extremities are the ones that attract them. So that's with respect to Ladakh. However, along with it, it has a beautiful scenic experience, great views which can be visited. So if you actually go and search for images of Ladakh or Leh, you will have excellent landscape views. So that is one. So here we have the pictures. This is the lake that we have, the Mughal Gardens, Jama Masjid, and the Shalimar Bagh. So here, these are the pillars that we are talking about, the wooden pillars in it. Now let us see the state of Jharkhand. let us see some pictures here. This is the picture for Dal Lake. What we can see here are the typical boats that are there. These are used for boating in the Dal Lake, and these are the same ones which are used for people who are staying in houseboats to come to the other side. Now then, this is the Nishad Bagh that we can see, a beautiful backdrop of skyline here. Then there is Jama Masjid, the one that we spoke about. These are the wooden pillars which are there. Shalimar Bagh, beautiful architecture, great views from the Bagh itself, terraced. So these are the attractions that Jammu Kashmir has. So ideally, it is even though being a place which has lots of military outposts to it, there are this particular state still has tourist inflows to it. So next state that we are going to look forward is the Jharkhand. Now, when we talk about Jharkhand, the image that comes up is towards still a developing state as such. However, it has many tourist attractions to offer. Now, one of the important destinations for Jain pilgrimage is here. Alright, so these are the 24 Jain temples, which are one dedicated to each of the Jain Tirthankars, which is here. So the temple on the highest peak is Parshvanath. So these are the one, the hillock which is named is Sri Santhir. So that are, this is one of the Jain pilgrim sector which is there. Now we have the other one, that is the city of Dhanbad. Now Dhanbad is the most important industrial center, especially because of the coal mines which are found here. So Dhanbad houses many of the industries here, and it also has institutes with respect to mining. So in and around Dhanbad is the richest mineral wealth of India. So this is the area which is richest source of minerals. Next we have Ranchi, that's the state capital. And when we talk about Ranchi, there is a legend which goes with the name of the capital. It was earlier known as Archi and not Ranchi. So Archi in the local dialect was the term for bamboo. So it is said that there was a spirit here, and the farmer has bred this particular spirit with the bamboo stick. So spirit ran off screaming Archi, Archi, and so that's how the name of the city here. Later on it became corrupted into Ranchi. So what we can find in Ranchi are beautiful waterfalls. So there are so many of them. Then there are lakes, then there are forests, and it is more of the rustic raw Ranchi that will attract the tourist here. We have one Jagannathpur temple, which is a famous temple. It is similar to the Puri temple that we have. And Ranchi also has one of Sun temple, which is dedicated to Lord Sun. So these are the attractions that Jharkhand has to offer. Apart from that, Jharkhand is famous for tribal tour packages which are here, and ecotourism. So these are the two aspects that Jharkhand markets about. Coming to Karnataka state. Now when we are talking about Karnataka, we are talking about the entire Karnataka feel that comes with the state. You can easily go and see this particular architecture that Karnataka has. It is one of the tourism is one of the wonderful industry that Karnataka has. It is on a success rate, that is, it is highly developed here. Infrastructure also is very good. So you can view all these attractions and many more on the official website of tourism of Karnataka. Now, one of the magnificent buildings that cannot be ignored is the Vidhan Sautha. In Bengaluru, it is the four-storied granite structure that houses the today's, that is the present, the state legislative and secretariat. It's magnificently built, and the idea behind it, or the way it was built and why so much magnificently built, there is a story attached to it. When we are talking about No, CM of Karnataka, the then CM of Karnataka, he was hosting certain French delegates, British international delegates here. And while roaming around the city of Bangalore, there was a comment which was passed that all of these buildings that Karnataka has to offer or the Bangalore has to offer are British or any other architecture. We do not have our own. So, what happened is that the then CM tried to build a monument which has typical architecture. So, what happened is the then CM roamed around and searched for inspiration to this particular building. He vowed that he will create a monument which is world class and it will be an amalgamation and entirely different architecture. So, Vidhan Sautha is a beautiful amalgamation of Dravidian style. It has the Indian Chhatravalis, it has the Mughal domes, it has the Dravidian pyramidal structures that we see in the gopurams of the temple. That is the structure that we can see, and the Gothic styled columns. So all this came together and formed the magnificent building of Vidhan Sautha, which we have seen plenty of times in most of the movies. This Vidhan Sautha building is lighted in on Sunday and public holidays. And being the state legislative and secretariat, there are words which are government's work, God's work, which is written on the exterior wall of Vidhan Sautha. The design on the pattern of Mysore Palace is the door leading to the cabinet room is carved of pure sandalwood. It is one treat to actually see that particular sandalwood. You can definitely search the images of this monument. Next is the most famous botanical garden of Lal Bagh, which stretches over 240 acres and was laid by Hyder Ali in 1760 and was completed by his son Tipu Sultan. Now, this is one of the magnificent gardens that we have. Great views and a very good experience. It is one of the beautifully maintained gardens. There are 1,000 varieties of plants and trees. Some of them were brought from Persia and European countries. Now, this was done when it was on the verge of completion by Tipu Sultan. So he had actually bought these particular species which were found only in Persia or only in European countries, and these were brought to India and planted here. There are many old trees which are also found in this particular garden. This is the picture that we are talking about, Vidhan Sautha, the magnificent building. These are the words that we can see. Now, this is the Lal Bagh Botanical Garden. This particular structure which you see is designed on the Crystal Palace, and this is the famous clock that the Botanical Garden has. It has a dial, it actually works and shows you the correct time of the day. Furthermore, the digits and the figures of the clock are made of the plants of different colors. So these are two very specific monuments which are a must visit. Then there are many festivals which take place here annually, flower exhibits which are taking place. So Lal Bagh Botanical Garden also has lots of structures made out of grass. So again, great views and great location to have wonderful photographs.